Strengthen your immune system with Goldman Laboratories liposomal vitamin C and get 10% off. Quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Hello, and thank you so much for listening today to the show. This is the Diabetes Show on UK Health Radio, and my name is Peter Alton, your host for today and the coming weeks. Hello and welcome back to the Diabetes Show this week. Thank you for joining us. If it's your first time, an extra special welcome to you. And if you've been faithfully listening to us every single week, thank you once again for spending your time listening to what we have to say. Hopefully today we're going to have some information for you which is going to be able to be very helpful. Some of it is specifically relevant to diabetes. A lot of it actually is relevant to anyone, but more so to people with diabetes. And we're going to be looking at, it's that time of year, isn't it? It's that time of year when, let's face it, we are likely to be getting those feet out and going places such as the beach where we might want to go barefoot. And as you know, I am a podiatrist, and therefore it is my interest, my mission, to try and help you as a person with diabetes to remain as safe as possible. Most of you should know by now that the feet are a real danger spot for people with diabetes. And I try to encourage everyone to live in what I call the diabetes sweet spot, not just from the point of view of being safe with good blood sugar control, but also specifically living as safely as you possibly can with your feet. And that is what my book Undefeated by Diabetes is all about. If you haven't got a copy, I suggest you get a copy. You can pick it up really cheap on Kindle, or you can get a hard copy, which is $14.99, I believe. You may even pick it up as a bargain on Amazon, because they often have it reduced there. Don't know how they do it, but they do. And Undefeated by Diabetes, it's a step-by-step guide to help you to look after your feet in the best possible way to keep them healthy for life. And that is the point, really. We want to make sure that every person with diabetes lives their life to the full and to the end with their feet. Because quite frankly, too many people end their lives with not having a foot intact or feet intact. It is just mind-boggling to me that 1.6 million people every single year with diabetes have an amputation, be it a whole foot, leg, or part of a foot. It's not on. It needs to change. And yes, a lot can be done by the medical professionals. A lot can be done by giving better care in certain countries. But the biggest impact on those figures, the biggest impact on your own personal life, is you taking responsibility for it. It's you learning about what can happen, learning about what you can do, learning about what risks you have at this point in your life with regards to your feet. And that's what my book is all about. So if you haven't got it already, consider getting it. Maybe get it for somebody's birthday present. Maybe ask somebody to get it you for your birthday present. Undefeated by Diabetes. And of course, my name is Peter Alton, spelled A-L-L-T-O-N. And of course, I should just remind you, Undefeated is spelled with all E's. And that is also the name of our non-for-profit organization, which also goes around helping to train people and teach people how to look after their feet in the best possible way. Okay, so all of you who have tuned in are not tuned in necessarily to listen to me doing a sales pitch for my book. You know, probably, if you've listened to this before, but at this point in the show, we normally run through some of the news items that I've found online over the past week. And usually the best source that I seem to find, particularly in the UK here, is from diabetes.co.uk, and I leave you to go and look into more detail with any of the topics that are there, particularly as I've got quite a lot of things I want to share with you later in the show. So I'm going to skim through pretty quickly as usual, just the headlines and maybe a brief bit about some of them. But the emphasis is on you. If you find something of interest, go and check it out at diabetes.co.uk. And so we'll kick off with the first one, and that is Western diet found to increase inflammatory bowel disease risk. Apparently, a team from Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis and Cleveland Clinic say that they've found evidence to suggest that eating convenience foods and takeaways, obviously high in sugar and fat, impairs the immune system, which can lead to health problems, and it could increase the risk of inflammatory bowel disease specifically. Obviously, anything that is going to reduce your immune system is not good when your diabetes already reduces your immune system, and also obviously with some of the infections that are around us, particularly at the moment thinking of COVID as well. So anything you can do to improve your immune system. So don't have too many of these Western style diet, high fat, high sugar things, this junk food, convenience foods that we tend to eat over here in the Western world and increasingly around the world. The team said that their research showed that long-term consumption of a Western-style diet high in fat and sugars impairs the function of immune cells in the gut in ways that could promote inflammatory bowel disease or increase the risk of intestinal infections. As I said earlier, I'm going to skim over them, so if you want to go and see more about that one, diabetes.co.uk is the website to go to. The next one on there is Low Carb Program launches virtual summer retreat. And this is, of course, diabetes.co.uk's campaign, if you like, their method of helping you as a person with diabetes, particularly type 2, to control it better with their low carb program. They've got this virtual summer retreat. Starts on Sunday the 6th of June. They host a range of live events, guest speakers, daily activities, and a range of challenges. The retreat is split into four key themes centered around implementing a holistic approach to health. Week one is nutrition, week two, exercise, week three, sleep, and week four, well-being. To take part in it, you can sign up to the low carb program, and as I say, starting from the 1st of June, running throughout the whole month. They've got a 30% off discount for annual subscriptions to the low carb program. Next one is for those of you with type 1 diabetes. It is about a study which has been done by the University of California, San Diego School of Medicine, which has looked into and found that there seems to be a genetic underpinning of type 1 diabetes. The breakthrough discovery means they can now identify a predictive causal role for specific cell types in the autoimmune condition. Joshua Chow, PhD and a recent graduate of the Biomedical Sciences Graduate Program at University of California, he worked on the study and said that understanding how type 1 diabetes originates at the cellular level is a critical step in finding treatments for reversing its course and ultimately preventing the disease altogether. So well done to them for their work there, and there's obviously a long way to go, a mountain to climb, but I think we're getting closer and closer to understanding type 1 diabetes even more, and then of course being able to tackle it and prevent it hopefully, and certainly control it better. Now, the next one will probably be a welcome one to all of us, because it will possibly mean that we're doing in excess of what the bare minimum should be with regards to exercise. You've probably heard you should do the 10,000 steps a day, and it's good to go for that. And I think, for many people, that that is a good target to go for. But apparently, racking up 4,400 steps a day can protect against serious illness. Apparently, walking 4,400 steps rather than the 10,000 may be enough to reduce your risk of developing serious diseases. Obviously, exercise can help with type 2 diabetes, But apparently this review looks into different levels of physical activity and found the goal might be beyond what you need, a bit of overkill, they say. Dr. Lindsay Bottoms, an exercise and health physiology expert from the University of Hertfordshire, points to recent research by Harvard Medical School, which found that on average, walking 4,400 steps per day can significantly lower the risk of death in women compared to only walking 2,700 steps a day. Dr. Bottoms has examined research into the merits of walking 10,000 steps a day, a goal that originates actually from a marketing campaign. She said the 10,000 steps a day target seems to have come about from a trade name pedometer sold in 1965 by Yamasa Clock in Japan. The device was called Manpoke, which translates to 10,000 steps meter. This was a marketing tool for the device and has seemed to have stuck across the world as the daily step target, even included in daily activity targets by popular smartwatches today. Dr. Bottoms acknowledges that walking 10,000 steps a day is good for your health, but highlights that this research by Harvard, which found the effect of walking on reducing the risk of dying, tended to level off at around 7,500. So, summing that up, I think it sounds like 4,400 helps you a lot. 7,500 is where you get the maximum benefit, and 10,000, you probably don't need to do that extra 2,500 to benefit that much. But, I mean, she says, although it's uncertain whether similar results would be seen in men, because this is all done in women, remember, it's one example of how moving a little bit more daily can improve health and lower the risk of death. Okay, so some of the articles we've already done there regarding the exercise, regarding what you eat. Next one links into that. Overweight teenagers at greater risk of stroke in middle age. Apparently, a team from the Hebrew University in Jerusalem have been looking at the effect of a higher BMI might have on adolescents as they reach adulthood, and they found a link between overweight teenagers and a higher risk of stroke in adults under 50, regardless of whether they had developed type 2 diabetes in later life. I'll leave you to go and look at that in more detail, particularly if you have got kids, and particularly if you have got kids that are possibly overweight as teenagers. Go and have a look at that. Next one, high consumption of fruit and vegetables linked to reduced stress. Apparently a team from Edith Cowan University in Australia has carried out a study which has found a direct link between a high intake of fruit and veg and reduced stress levels. The research involved 8,600 people aged between 25 and 91, so a pretty wide range there. They basically ate 470 grams of fruit and vegetables on a daily basis, and those people enjoyed 10% reduced stress levels compared to those that consumed less than that. In fact, guidance has been issued by the World Health Organization suggests that people should eat at least 400 grams of fruit and veg per day. The lead researcher there, Simone Radavelli-Bagatini, from the ECU's Institute for Nutritional Research, said, "We found that people who have higher fruit and veg intakes are less stressed than those with lower intakes. And this suggests diet plays a key role in mental well-being." So give it a try. You know, if you are feeling really stressed out, if you have got some mental health issues, depression, etc., then do check out eating more fruit and veg and see if it does make a bit of a help to you. Next one, I can't really believe it. In this day and age, we're still talking about smoking risks, etc. And especially on a diabetes show where you should know that smoking is really not good for you if you've got diabetes, particularly the area I'm involved with regarding the feet and peripheral arterial disease. Smoking is appalling for you. So hopefully you have already given that up. Anyway, this one is female smokers at risk of decreased learning and memory function. In the largest study that has ever looked at how smoking and cardiovascular disease might impact cognitive function, researchers have found cigarettes can do significant damage. A team from the Translational Genomics Research Institute in America has found the effects of smoking do impact the brain and are seemingly more pronounced among women than men. It's one thing that probably everyone is really scared of is developing dementia, developing cognitive problems, not being able to remember things when you get older. Apparently, according to the senior author, Dr. Matt Huentelman, professor of neurogenomics, he said, these results suggest that smoking and cardiovascular disease impact verbal learning and memory throughout adulthood, starting as early as age, wait for it, age 18. Wow. Smoking is associated with decreased learning and memory function in women, while cardiovascular is associated with decreased learning and memory function in men. Alzheimer's disease is most commonly associated with cognitive impairment, but another condition has also been linked to brain impairment, which is called vascular contributions to cognitive impairment and dementia. Do go and have a look at that article, particularly if you are a smoker and especially if you are a lady who smokes. Next one, back to the pandemic, and this one is about alcohol making social distancing almost impossible in pubs. Researchers found that strangers who consume alcohol are more likely to move physically closer to each other even after initially keeping their distance. So I guess you drink the alcohol, you let your guard down, and you gradually move closer together. These experts at University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign conducted a study amongst 212, so a pretty small group, young healthy drinkers, and compared the effects of alcohol and non-alcoholic drinks on social distancing between strangers and fields. The results showed that once intoxicated, strangers drew closer together, something which researchers said potentially important implications for public health. So that's something to be aware of, I guess, as the pubs start opening, the restaurants are opening, and life is getting back to some sort of resemblance of normality. Don't let your guard down. You know, if you do have a little bit to drink, I don't advise having too much anyway, but if you do have a little bit to drink, don't sort of get creeping closer to those strangers in the pub. That's it from diabetes.co.uk, and I'm going to get a couple here from the www.newsnow.co.uk, and they look at all different news items from different places to do with largely with health, I believe. And looking at the diabetes ones here, there's a couple of interesting ones I'm just going to pick out. First of all, that a drug by Novo Nordisk, which helps with weight management in type 2 diabetes, that has been granted approval by the FDA in the US. It's apparently the first time that a drug for chronic weight management has been granted approval since 2014. The drug is called Wegovy, or also called semaglutide. And it's an injectable treatment, 2.4 milligrams once a week, so only one pimprick a week, intended for one more pimprick a week if you're on insulin, of course. And it's intended for chronic weight management in adults with obesity or that are overweight with at least one weight-related condition, such as high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, or high cholesterol. It is recommended to be that treatment to be given with the adoption of also a reduced calorie diet and increased physical activity. And then there's this one, which is interesting. Type 2 diabetes patients can benefit from stem cell transplants. Apparently, a research team from Vinmec Research Institute of Stem Cell and Gene Technology in Hanoi, Vietnam, they did a randomized clinical trial there. And type 2 diabetes patients who are not overweight and who have had the disorder for less than a decade can benefit from stromal stem cells transplanted from their own bone marrow. I won't go into all the details there, but one spokesperson said, our patients tolerated the procedure well and showed short-term reductions in their blood glucose levels after the treatment. This was said by Liam Nguyen,
the Institute's research director. We also found that some of them were able to temporarily reduce the dosage of their diabetes medications.
So that's pretty much what I found in the news this week. And there's obviously many other items out there, especially on that last website that I gave you, which was www.newsnow.co.uk. There is one other big bit of news I want to tell you about, though, and that is that UK Health Radio's awards are up and running. There have been various people, various companies nominated for awards in, I think it's 36 different categories. Please do go along to the website, to their website, and look for the awards logo there, where you can click on it and get the opportunity to vote for some of the companies and people that have been instrumental in this. There are various companies put forward in the diabetes category, and I would love it if you could go along and vote for whichever one you feel is the best one, the one most deserving. It's going to be hard because they're all pretty deserving. Let me just run quickly through them with you. And they are the Freestyle Libre by Abbott, which is a glucose monitoring system. Then there is Glucose SOS. Pamela Haywood invented that. She's got two children with type 1 diabetes, and it's a glucose powder for lower blood sugar. Medtronic, which is a medical device company doing many of the pumps that people use for type 1. Funky Pumpers Diabetes Supplies, supplier in UK of all different types of diabetes-related products. Alprisen Cream, which is one that we recommend for diabetes and the feet, for dry chapped skin on the feet. Zinzino Balance Oil, which it helps protect cells from oxidation. One-to-one Diet by the Cambridge Weight Plan. You've heard them on the, on here recently, and in fact I've actually done a bit of that myself. Low Carb Program from diabetes.co.uk. You often hear me talking from their news items. And then Dexcom G6, which is another continuous glucose monitoring system. So those are the products for you to have the opportunity to vote for. Please do spend some time doing that, and all the other different categories as well. You just get to choose one, and hopefully the one that you choose is going to be the one that wins. Thank you for doing that. Go along to the website, ukhealthradio.com. Look for the logo, click on it, and fill in your answers. There's one other item of news I want to talk about. Now, this isn't actually from this year. This is from a previous year. It's one I picked up on, and it actually prompted me to do a show back then. And I think that this show this week is, with the weather being so nice and people deciding to go to the beach and what have you, it's probably the time for me to do this news item again. This article again, because I think it's a very important lesson that this unfortunate person learnt, and that you can learn from too. This story is pretty horrific, and I don't know whether the patient did have diabetes or not, but if she had have had diabetes, it would have been even worse than what the story is portraying. It's about a lady in South Wales in the Gower Peninsula who was on holiday there, was having a barbecue on the beach. And they had a barbecue in these, one of these tin barbecues, you know, the disposable ones, as many do. And often you see them in parks and you see them on the beach, people having these barbecues. Well, anyway, this lady had this barbecue with her family. And I think they had two or three of the trays there. And 4 hours after finishing the barbecue, she went to clear up before leaving, I assume, at the end of the day. Went to pick up the first one, checked it was cool, and sure enough, the tin foil was cool, so she picked it up. And then she stepped forward to pick up the next one, and stepping forward, she put her foot on the sand where the barbecue tray had been, this cold barbecue tray. But the sand beneath was still extremely hot, unbeknownst to her, and her foot sank into this hot sand, and she got horrific burns all over. her foot all around the up the sides of it, on top. It was horrific. The pictures were really, really not good. And she's had to have major treatment to try and heal that skin up. The moral of this is that if you have a barbecue on sand, sand retains the heat for many, many hours. In fact, in that article, it said that 5 hours after the barbecue, water was poured onto the sand and the water boiled and evaporated away. That's how hot it was. So you can imagine if somebody's on that beach and they have a barbecue and they, like she did, clear the tray away, put it in maybe a bin on the beach, take it home with them. And then some unsuspecting person comes along and walks on that patch of sand. They're going to get horrific burns like that lady did. She literally just put her foot forward on it and some life-changing, certainly short-term life-changing burns occurred. So I just want you to be aware that maybe when you're on the beach, you should be considering having something, not just because of barbecues, but because of other things, sharp glass, shells, having something on your feet that will protect you. It is worth it. Particularly, I mean, if you go to really hot countries, just walking on the tarmac down to the beach can burn your foot enough to create a wound. And all those sharp objects that can get into your foot. Whether or not you have neuropathy, of course. If you've got neuropathy, you wouldn't even know it's happening to you. But if you haven't got neuropathy, you'll know you've got something sticking into your foot. But by then, of course, it's too late. You've got the wound. So it is worthwhile wearing some flip-flops or maybe even some of these beach shoes that you can go swimming in. Because that's the other thing. When you're in the water, and particularly some of the beaches in the UK here, very, very stony shells, you're sea urchins in some areas, you're walking around in the water and your feet aren't protected. So the beach shoes actually are very good from that point of view because you can wear them in the water. So I would encourage you to really pay attention. And if you are having a barbecue on the beach, make sure you do what you can to minimize the risks to yourself and to others. So remove the tray when it's cold and either disperse the sand so that it's not one hot mass, or get some water and pour it on there and, you know, watch it boiling for yourself. Keep pouring water on it until it's cold so there's no danger to any other unsuspecting person walking along later on. I hope that that is useful to you. It's a tip that I really want to give. It's very simple, very basic, but it's something which I'm sure that lady would have appreciated knowing prior to this event happening. We're going to go into a song now, which is by Chris Rea, and it is called, appropriately, On the Beach. And later on in the show, I'm going to come back with another tip for living life, having fun on the beach. It's going to be a tip which I think you'll find helpful. Before that, though, we're going to have the song. Take it away, Chris Rea, On the Beach. And we'll get into the interview afterwards. Summer, I will keep That was Chris Rea and On the Beach. You are listening to The Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio. My name is Peter Alton, your host for the day. If you have just joined us, then you missed earlier on one of a big tip actually on how to stay safe when on the beach. Now, if you've been listening throughout the show, then you're probably waiting with bated breath to find out what these tips are regarding going to the beach. We had the big one at the beginning, of course, and if you've only just joined, then do go back and listen to that because it is a huge tip. It was all about a lady who last week got severely burnt by a barbecue which had been had gone cold, it had finished, but the sand it was sitting on underneath was still roasting hot when she put her foot on it. Not a good situation at all. Anyway, we've got some more tips which you've been waiting for, Bobby, and I'm going to share those with you now. The first one is a fairly basic one, which probably you all know about, but each year we get people in who have either forgotten about doing it or haven't bothered to do it or haven't seen the importance of doing it. And that is, we put sun cream, hopefully, on our arms, on our noses, on our foreheads, on our bald heads, or whatever it might be. But very often we forget about the tops of our feet. And it's not unheard of. It's quite common, actually, for people to come in with bad sunburn on their feet. And if you have diabetes, of course, that then is a risk factor because that can blister up, it can open up and get bacterial infection in on top. So don't forget to put sun cream on your feet. And if you are going swimming, make sure it's one that is resilient to the water and probably just keep putting some more on later as well. Particularly feet tend to get sunburnt because, you know, sometimes we do wear light clothes elsewhere, so we don't actually put the cream on because we're covered up with a cotton shirt and maybe some light trousers. So we don't think about putting it on the other parts of our body. And then, of course, the sandals we're wearing, we don't put any on the feet and the bits are exposed. We quite often have people coming in, as you can probably imagine, with the pattern of the shoe on their foot, where the sun has got through the open bits and burnt. So that is that tip. The other tip, it's also relating to the feet, actually. Although I suppose it could probably relate to other parts of the body as well. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I go to the beach, there's a couple of things I don't like. One of them is sand in my sandwiches. I mean, I know sandwiches have got the name sand in it, but you don't want sand in them, do you? And that's something which I'm particular about. And trying to get the sand off your hands when you're about to eat it can sometimes be a problem. And certainly, the other thing that I hate about going to the beach is when you get back to the car and you've got sand all over your feet. Particularly in the UK here, a lot of the beaches, the sand is pretty wet and you get it stuck to your feet and then you go back to your car and you've got all these feet getting into your car with sand stuck to it. However much you try and rub it off of your towel, it still sticks to it. And then it ends up in your car, the feet of the kids is on the backs of the back of front seats and it's making marks there. Or you get the sand on your feet and then you have to put your socks and shoes on because you're going to go walking somewhere else. And you just can't get the sand off. Well, there's a tip that I came up with, which is apparently it's been around for some time, but I hadn't heard of it. Maybe I've just had my eyes closed. I don't know. But it's been on YouTube for some time and I think scattered around social media a little bit. And that is this tip. And that is, take some talcum powder with you. Go and invest in a pot of talcum powder for a pound or whatever it might be from Pound Stretcher, dollar store, whatever it is over in America, of course. Get your talcum powder. And when you want to get the sand off your feet, this sand that's stuck to your feet because it's a bit damp, dust your feet with talcum powder, rub it in, and lo and behold, it dries the foot, the sand won't stick to it anymore, and the sand just drops off. And don't forget to do in between your toes. And that's really why I'm putting it in here, because you know, you might think it's just an inconvenience having a bit of sand there, getting your car a bit dirty, having some sand in your feet when you put them in your socks and shoes. But actually, it can cause a problem. It can cause little abrasions, which then can allow bacteria or fungal infection. And I know for myself, in the past, quite often when I've been on holiday, summer holidays, and have had sand in between the toes, it can quite often spark off a portal of entry for a fungal infection, and I end up getting athlete's foot in between my little toe. And it's the only time, and I can only link it to the sand situation. So talcum powder, dust it on, dust off the sand with the talcum powder, and hey presto, you should have a foot which is clear of sand. I hope that has works well for you. I hope you have a fantastic summer. I hope that the summer on the beach can be much more enjoyable for you now, but you're not going to injure yourself treading on anything sharp. You're not going to get sunburn. And then at the end of the day, you can get that sand off your feet, or maybe get the sand off your hands before you eat your sandwiches. Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope it's been helpful. We're going to close out with another song. That song is going to be by the band REM, and the song is called Drive. Thank you for listening. Enjoy this week and enjoy the song Drive by REM.
Smash, smash, crack, push, whack. Tie another one to the racks, baby. Hey, hey, kid, rock and roll. Nobody tells you where to go, baby. What if I ride? What if you walk? What if you rock around the clock? Tip, 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 tip. What if you did? What if you walk? What if you try to get on? Nobody tells you what to do, baby. Hey, hey, kid, shake a leg. Maybe you're crazy in the head, baby. Maybe you did, maybe you are. Thank you.
That was REM and Drive, and I hope you've enjoyed this week's diabetes show here on UK Health Radio. I've certainly had a great week. It's been great fun compiling the show for this week, and I hope that it's really been useful to you. I do hope and pray that the things we've shared today, number one, are going to prevent some wounds on people's feet who have diabetes, and therefore prevent amputations directly as a result of you listening to what we've said today. However, of course, listening and success are two very, very far apart things. You have to put the middle bit in, which is the action. The only way you can be successful is to act upon what you hear. So two, please, please be safe, look after yourself, and take heed of what we talked about on the beach there. That's pretty much it. I just want to leave you with saying, do get in touch if you've got anything you want us to talk about, any questions, any comments, any criticisms about the way we're doing this show. Particularly though, anything you want to say, if you want to get your voice heard, then please get in touch. You can contact us at
contact@undefeated.org. contact@undefeated.org. Remember, undefeated is spelt with all E's in there. Okay. And please do check out the awards again. Before you forget, remember that the awards on ukhealthradio.com. Click on the icon, go to all the different categories. It's 36 different categories with different companies and individuals up for awards, and put in your vote. Make your vote count for them. They definitely will appreciate every vote they can get, and it means a lot to the winners to win something that they can put that logo on their website, UK Health Radio Award winner. That would be fantastic. Finally, the Health Triangle magazine, of course, is out for June, and I've got an article in there. There's some fantastic other articles in there as well, so don't go buying it just for me. You can subscribe, a very good deal. There's loads of stuff going on in there. My article this month is about Flaming June, feet and heat, reasons why your feet can get hot, reasons why there might be something very serious going on behind the scenes, or it might be something less serious that can be dealt with easily. Nevertheless, if you suffer from hot feet, definitely go along and get that article. And it's not a bad idea anyway to have a read of it, because you don't know what's around the corner in your life. You may develop hot feet at a later stage, and it's good to know what it's all about. Thank you so much for listening to the show this week. I do hope that you have an amazing, amazing week ahead. Maybe some of you will be going down to the beach, and I hope that what we've talked about today will keep you safe there. Remember, if you do use a barbecue on the sand, make sure it's not hot for the next person that comes walking along there. And remember, protect yourself. Wear some footwear on your feet on the beach. Maybe some beach shoes, maybe some flip-flops, something that is going to be able to protect the soles of your feet if you've got diabetes walking around on a beach. And I'm not talking just protection from where barbecues were. That's going to be a bit of a long shot. But it's more, you know, the sharp objects that might be around. Bits of glass on the beach. Unfortunately, there's lots of that around. Sharp bits of shell on the beach and other nasties that want to get into your foot and cause an infection. So on that note, please have a fantastic week. Enjoy yourselves. Stay blessed. And tune in again next week.
And that is it for this week's show. You've been listening to Peter Alton with the Diabetes Show here on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say have a fantastic week. Stay safe in the diabetes sweet spot. Live in the ideal diabetic lifestyle. I look forward to sharing more with you next week. Take good care and God bless.